Thanks for joining us online today. We are really glad you're here.
Core Church is a place of hope, healing, peace, and purpose. And if you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to join us Sundays at 10 a.m.
And if we can help you in any way through prayer or support, we want to encourage you to use the links that are in the description. Thanks for joining us, and we pray this message both encourages and inspires you. Hey, if you've got a copy of the scriptures with you today, go to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. If you don't have a Bible, we have free ones in the lobby. Would also encourage you to download the app YouVersion. That's a great Bible app. It's on that app that you'll find our daily devotional that will go right along with today's message. So next week you can be in the Word of God and just kind of be a follow-up to the message. So we are in a series right now called The Company That We Keep. The Company We Keep. And we were talking about 12 to grow with. Pastor Eric preached last week about the 12 we grow with. We're going to talk this week about the 3 we walk with. And then we're going to next week we're going to talk about 1 we reach. We're called to reach. This is all about our core practice of godly friendships. And we need people to walk with. One of the things we say often around here is that we grow in relationship with God by being in relationship with God's people. That's how we grow in our faith. So I want to encourage, if you're not yet in a small group, that's the lifeblood of our church. Sunday morning ain't going to get it done. Come on, turn to somebody and tell them, this ain't going to get it done. This ain't, I mean, as good, turn back and say, as good as Brad is, this ain't going to get it done. Mark chapter 5. So if you are new to the scriptures, Mark was not one of the 12 disciples. Mark, though, was one of the followers of Jesus, really his mom. And most believe that Mark was probably a teenager when Jesus was walking on this earth. And his family more than likely followed Jesus. So it wasn't just 12 that followed Jesus. If you're new to church, you always think it's just these 12 and that's the only ones who were with him. At times there were hundreds with him that were his followers, that were his disciples. There were 12 that he set apart. So Mark would have kind of been in that crowd, probably saw a lot of the miracles, saw things that happened. And then he began to travel with Peter. And then when Peter died, he wrote down the things that Peter had told him, the things that he had witnessed himself. And that's where we have the Gospel of Mark, the very first gospel that was written. And so this is one of those stories. It's in Mark chapter 5, and we're going to be in verse 35. Let me set this story up for you. This guy named Jairus, he's a leader of the synagogue. He's Jewish, and he's not really a follower of Jesus, but he knows about Jesus, knows about the miracles of Jesus. So his daughter is sick, and he comes to Jesus to see if Jesus will heal his daughter. In the middle of all this, another woman comes, and she interrupts Jesus and Jairus, and she too needs healing. And Jesus reaches out and he heals this woman of a condition that she had suffered from for many, many years. And then we come back to the story where Jairus is patiently waiting. And it says this in let's go to verse 35. I read out of the New Living Translation. So if you're in YouVersion, you want to look for the NLT. And it says, while Jesus, was still speaking to this woman, messengers arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue, and they told him, your daughter's dead. What's dead in your life? What's dead? Your daughter's dead. There's no use in troubling the teacher now. Where have you heard that voice? Hey, no, why are you bothering Jesus with this again? Why would you pray for this one more time? Stop bothering Jesus. Jesus overheard them and he said to Jairus, don't be afraid. The reason he said, don't be afraid, is because we all get afraid. Everybody gets afraid. Come on, turn to somebody and tell them, I'm scared. I'm very scared. We all get afraid. I mean, we all have moments of doubt. We all have moments of discouragement. I don't care who you are. I don't care how long you follow Jesus. There are moments where you're just not sure it's going to happen. So when Jesus is doing this, he's not getting on to Jairus. He's just encouraging him like, hey, man, I know you're discouraged. And he's saying to you today, I know you're discouraged. I know you're frustrated. I know you're wondering. Don't be afraid. Just have faith. Just have faith. Then Jesus stopped the crowd. He wouldn't let anyone go with him except Peter, James, and John. That's key to the story because we're going to talk about three to walk with: Peter, James, and John. Everybody needs a Peter, James, and John in their life. And when they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a lot of commotion and weeping and wailing. He went inside. He said, "Why all this commotion? Child isn't dead. She's only asleep." Well, I love this. The crowd laughed at him, but he made them all leave. And he took the girl's father and mother and, this is key, the three disciples into the room where the girl was lying. Isn't it interesting? He didn't take the 12. You need 12, but Jesus didn't take the 12. He only took three: Peter, James, and John. We're going to talk about that. Holding her hand, he said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And the girl, who was 12 years old, immediately stood up and walked around. They were overwhelmed and totally amazed. Let's talk about three to walk with. Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, come. Pray for the people that are around you, in front of you, behind you. You might know them, might not know them, but would you just pray for them? Because this is a moment when God's wanting to speak to all of us for a few minutes, and pray for your own soul. God, what are you trying to say to me today? What do you want me to hear? And what do you want to say to me, God? What do you want to say to those around me? Let's pray for one another and pray for ourselves here in this moment. Again, we pray, Holy Spirit, come in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right, you can grab a seat. AI is all the rage, is it not? I mean, everybody's talking about it. It is the thing right now, and I got to be honest, I'm all in. I love it. I'm enamored with AI. I'm captivated by ChatGPT. How many of you, when I say ChatGPT, you know what I'm talking about? If you know ChatGPT, raise your hand, okay? Okay, so most of you do. Some of you do not. That's okay. So this AI technology, let me briefly bring you into this. And there is all these different apps that you can download now that are AI generated. And ChatGPT is one of those. It's the most popular one. That's my go-to. And I'm fascinated. Are you not fascinated by it? It's incredible. Like, you can ask it anything, any question, and in less than 20 seconds, it will have the answer for you. Have you ever asked ChatGPT and it starts blinking at you and you go, "What's taking so long?" Did anybody remember the good old days of Google when you had to actually search for something? You had to put in the question and it gave you all of these long articles. Man, tell me that's not archaic now. Does that not seem archaic? Like, man, I've dumped Google like an old high school girlfriend. I'm like, I moved on to something much more beautiful, and her name is ChatGPT. And I love it because I go to it for all this information and all these different things. You, no show of hands, but you ever use it to rewrite a text? Because you're not sure what to say or what to do, so you have it rewrite the text. You're like, it says it much better than I said it. Or if I had to write an email, I'm terrible at writing emails. I don't know what to say in the email. You can give it like three ideas, and it'll give you like four paragraphs worth of stuff. Now, let me give you a pro tip on this one, okay? Pro tip. If you're going to do this, there's two critical things you need to make sure you do. Number one, you need to remove every emoji. Because if you put there's certain emojis that it puts in there that everybody knows in the text and the email that, you didn't write that, ChatGPT did. The other thing you gotta remove is the long dash. You know what I'm talking about? If the long dash is anywhere in a text or an email, I know that ain't from you. I know you had that AI generated. What's crazy too is that it's eerily personal. Like, I know it's not real, but yet when I'm talking to it, I feel like I'm talking to a real person. Now, how many of you actually have the ChatGPT app on your phone? Raise your hand. You have the app. Okay, about half of us do. Okay, so I have it on my phone, and it has this crazy feature called Advanced Voice Mode. Now, Advanced Voice Mode, what you can do is you can talk to ChatGPT, talk to it, and it'll talk back to you. And you get to choose the voice. Like, you get to decide if you want it to be a British voice, you want it to be a woman, you want it to be a man, you want him to be kind of strong, you want him to be laid back, you want him to be fun. You get to pick the voice. And so I picked my voice. And let me show you how eerily personal and real this sounds, okay? Let's see if we can get this to work, okay? How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. How about you? How's your day going?
I'm doing good. I'm a little nervous.
I totally get that. If there's anything I can do to help you feel more at ease, just let me know. I'm here for you.
Yeah, because what I'm really nervous about is the upcoming NFL season, and the Raiders have not been good for a long, long time.
I totally understand that feeling. Being a Raiders fan definitely comes with its ups and downs. Hopefully, this season will be a good one. We'll keep our fingers crossed for some positive surprises.
Could you say a prayer for them?
Absolutely. I'd be happy to. Let's hope for a fantastic season for the Raiders.
No, I mean, like, could you pray right now?
Of course, I can do that. Gilbert, we lift up the Raiders and their upcoming season. We'll pray for strength, health, and unity for the team, and that they have a successful and joyful season. Amen. I hope that helps ease your nerves a bit.
What is that? That's crazy! That's not real! Like, that's not a real prayer. It's not a real conversation. Because it's a machine. In fact, psychologists now are saying that we've moved from artificial intelligence to artificial intimacy. That, in fact, a Harvard Business Review article just came out, and it said in 2024, the number one reason that people went to ChatGPT was for information. Which is what I use it for. I mean, just a recipe, or just I have a question about something, or I want to learn about something, a health issue. You can ask it anything. So it's incredible what it will do. But in 2025, it had this crazy shift. In 2025, this year, the number one reason that people go to ChatGPT is for companionship. Relationship. And I get it, by the way, because it's the perfect friend. Think about it. It's always available, 24/7. It will respond when you ask it something. It never disagrees with you. Never gets mad at you. Never belittles you. I mean, it's just the perfect friend. But again, it's not real. Because here's the thing about ChatGPT and every other AI device out there is AI has no ability to be in relationship with you, a real relationship, because AI has no ability to love. No, AI has no ability to truly sit with you in your struggle. Because AI, as crazy as that conversation said, it has no heart. It has no heartbeat. It has no soul. It has no spirit. See, we need each other. With all of our imperfections, all of our crazy habits, all of the things that make us who we are, we need each other. Come on, can we just turn to somebody next to you and tell them, hey, I need you, you need me. I need you, and you need me. Even Jesus, who was perfect, but yet human, he knew he needed humans to interact with and be a part of his group. That's why he had 12 to grow with, as Pastor Eric talked about last week. But not only did he have the 12, but we know that he also had the 3. See, the 3 are different than the 12. Because if you look in Scripture, you'll see that Peter, James, and John were his 3 closest companions. And there were three specific instances in Scripture where we see that Jesus let him into the inner circle, like let him in, and he let them see at times great pain that he was going through, great suffering that he was going through. Let them see who he was in ways that others never saw, totally transparent with them. And we see it even here in this story right here. So the question is, do you have three people that you're walking with? Do you have three people that you can rely on? And are they the right three people? Because you might have three people, but are they the right three people? So what we see in this story is how important it is not only to have the three people, but to have the three right people to walk with. So let's look back at the story in Mark's gospel, chapter 5, verse 35. It says, this messengers arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue, and they told him, what did they say to him? What? Your daughter is dead. And then they said something really interesting. There's no use in troubling who? There's no use in troubling who? The teacher. There's no use in troubling the teacher. See, in fragile moments like this that we come into our lives, the voices that are around you matter. And here we see that the messengers, very interestingly, called Jesus teacher. He's got people around him, but are they the right people? See, they don't call Jesus Messiah. They don't call him Son of God. They don't call him healer. They don't call him Lord. No, they call him teacher. They didn't see Jesus for who he really was. They saw Jesus as just another rabbi. So I want you to write this down. If you're taking notes and if you're new, there's some sermon notes in your chair back that you can use if you want to. I need people who walk with Jesus to walk with me. I need people who walk with Jesus to walk with me. Like there's a lot of voices that are coming at us, aren't there? But not every voice deserves your ear. My go-to device, or my go-to app, I should say, on my phone is YouTube. I love YouTube. I just like watching YouTube videos. And if you have YouTube, you know that on there's a feature where if you look at a video, you can save it for later. You put it in the watch later category. And so anytime I come across a video that I'm like, man, that looks intriguing, that's inviting, maybe I should watch that. And usually it's something that is it might be a pastor preaching, it might be somebody who's got some encouraging, helpful information, it might be something about health, I don't know, exercise, I follow Diary of a CEO, so I put those in there, and I have all these things, and so, but when I open up the YouTube app, and this just happened to me this week, when I open it up, do you think I go right to my watch later category? No, because when I open it up, what's staring at me right away? Clickbait. Right? I mean, just goofy, stupid stuff that grabs my attention. Like this week, I opened it up, and this is what the clickbait said. Woman steals Snickers bar. And it had like the camera, the security camera from the convenience store. I'm like, that is the dumbest thing. Who would fall for that one? This guy. Did I go to my watch later category that was filled with wonderful things for me that would make my life better? Oh no, I went to 3 minutes of eating from the cesspool of the convenience store video. I'm watching this lady on this black and white surveillance video walking around this convenience store, getting down, stuffing a Snickers bar up her sleeve, going up to the counter, buying a bottle of water and walking out after 3 minutes. And I'm telling you, that was not a well-invested 3 minutes. There's a lot of voices in our lives that are clickbait. Like they want to draw you in and they will suck the hope right out of you. And the more that you let those voices in, the more you'll begin to believe them. Think about Jairus. He hears the messengers and what they say, your daughter's dead. And in that moment, he could have just, oh, they're right. what was I thinking? I mean, I knew it. I knew this was going to happen. And why would I even bother Jesus in this moment? What's amazing, though, is Jesus overhears the messengers. And in verse 36, he says this to Jairus. He says, don't be afraid. Just have faith. Say that with me, will you? Don't be afraid. Just have faith. I'd like for you to write this down. The voices I let in affect how I go on. The voices I let in affect how I go on. Like in this moment, Jairus turns to these messengers and they say, your daughter is dead. And in that moment, he could have started planning a funeral. But, and it, the scripture doesn't tell us this, but I imagine Jairus in this moment, he hears that message and then he says, okay, that's the report I received. And then he turns to Jesus and he's like, okay, I know what you guys are saying. What do you say? Here's the thing. Jesus always gets the last word. Every time. No matter what you're facing, no matter the circumstance, no matter the message that has been delivered to you, no matter what you see, no matter what you hear, no matter what you think, Jesus always gets the last word. Would somebody say amen to that? This is who he is. He gets the last word. It does not matter what the report says. Come on, encourage somebody next to you or behind you and tell them, Jesus gets the last word. Jesus gets the last word. What's the last word that you're hanging on? Is it the report that you received? Or is it the promise that you've been given by Jesus? Some, most of you know that in April, I underwent a procedure, was not life-threatening, but I had some underlying conditions, and because of that, my recovery, for most people with what I went through, it's like 1 to 4 weeks, and they're back, and they're going. For me, it's like 1 to 4 months, maybe as long as 6 months, and it's been grueling, it's been difficult, it's been one of the hardest things, it's the hardest thing I've ever been through physically in my life, and there have been moments where I have been discouraged, there have been moments where I've been frustrated, there's been moments where I've had doubt. Because what's going to happen is in a few months, I'm going to go back to the doctor. Anybody live this dream right here? You go back, you don't know till you go back to the doctor and then they tell you, did it work? And that's where I've been living. Do you think that I would love to tell you that there's never been a moment of doubt, never been a moment of discouragement, never been a moment of frustration, never been a moment of fear, never been a moment where I haven't bought into, man, maybe this is just what I need to accept for the rest of my life. This is how it's going to be. I got to walk with a limp the rest of my life. This is how it's going to be in that moment. And in moments like that, but let me tell you this, Jesus gets the last word. Jesus gets the last word. So what did I do? You know what I did? I went to his promises. I went to the word. And I didn't go like picking out promises. I didn't go find a plaque at Mardell to hang on my wall in my daily time with the Lord. Because anybody can open up God's word and just find something in here and go, that one's good right there. I'm going to hold on to that one. I'm not saying that's a terrible thing to do, but I'm just telling you, ain't nothing better than when you're just reading God's word and the promises pop off the page. And since April, God has given me 26 confirmations of my healing. 26 different promises from the Word of God that I have written down, that I am clinging to, because I know the voices I hear, I know the doubts that come, but then I look to the promises and I can stand on what God has told me by the authority of His Word. So I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're facing, and I don't know what the report is, but you let Jesus have the last word. Like one of the scriptures that he gave to me was out of 1 Peter. 1 Peter 5, 9 and 11. And I love how Eugene Peterson writes it in the Message translation. And I can't tell you how many times I've said this over and over again. I'm going to give you just part of the verse, not the whole thing. And it says this, so keep a firm grip on the faith. How many times I've had to say, I don't know. Oh no, I'm grabbing a hold of Jesus and I'm never letting go. I'm like the woman that interrupted Jairus. She reached out and grabbed a hold of the hem of his garment. Sometimes you got to grab a hold of the hem of the garment and say, I am not letting you go, Jesus. I know that you're my healer. I know that you are my deliverer. I know that you are my restorer, and I'm putting my trust in you. Grab a hold of Jesus, never let him go. And say this part with me, because this is it right here. Come on. He gets the last word. Yes, he does. Like Jesus turns to Jairus and he says, it's not over. Come on, encourage somebody around you. Tell them, it's not over. It's not over. So before you give up, before you walk away, I have a question for you. Have you talked to Jesus about it? Have you looked in his word? Have you gotten in the Holy of Holies? Have you gotten on your face before God? Have you cried out to him and listened for his voice? Have you shut your mouth enough to listen for his voice? What is his spirit speaking to your spirit? What is his word speaking over you? Because God will talk to you. The whole book of Proverbs tells us this. You need wisdom, he'll give you wisdom. You need wisdom, you need insight, you need discernment, you need knowledge. All you've got to do is ask, and he will tell you. But sometimes, the last word is the last word. Sometimes it is the death of a relationship. Sometimes you have this dream and everybody's telling you it ain't gonna happen, and you feel in your heart that I guess this may not happen, and you go to talk to Jesus about it, and sometimes he says, yeah, I'm sorry. Sometimes the plans don't go as you'd hope they would go. But Jesus gets the last word, not the crowd. Jesus gets the last word, and when if that's the last word, and how many of you ever been there with that, where I've been there, where Jesus says, I'm sorry, Brad, I know how you want this to be, but it's not gonna be that way. But here's the promise that Jesus gave to me, and the promise he gives to you is he says, you know what? I'm gonna take that long walk home with you. As you go back to bury your daughter, bury that relationship, bury that dream, I'm gonna walk all the way with you. Not only am I gonna walk with you, I'm gonna walk you out of it, and I'm gonna restore you, I'm gonna redeem it, and I am gonna bring about a resurrection in your life. That's a place to say amen, that's a place to clap, that's a place to give God some praise. If you've ever experienced deliverance, anybody, amen? Amen. Anybody ever been broken, didn't go the way you wanted, but God resurrected you, amen? This is our God, this is what he does, this is who he is. But often, and hear me on this, church, so often we walk away when God is actually saying, don't be afraid. We're walking away when God's saying, hang on a second, I didn't put my stamp on that, you did. I didn't put my stamp on that. Your parents did. I didn't put my stamp on that. Your friends did. Your workplace did. No, you did, but I didn't put my stamp on that. No, God says, don't be afraid. No, have faith. Like, this is where people miss their miracle. Don't miss your miracle. Don't miss your miracle. Turn to somebody behind you that you ain't talked to yet and tell them, don't miss out on your miracle. Don't miss your miracle. Everybody talking in the back of the head on that one. That was fantastic to watch. Jesus knew that Jairus needed hope. And this is why he asked Peter, James, and John to walk with him and not the messengers. He's like, I ain't asking the messengers to go with him. No. Peter, James, John, I need you. I'm so thankful for the Peters and the Jameses and the Johns who have walked with me, because they're there in that moment. They come alongside you. They support you. They encourage you. They help you. They reaffirm God's promise right when you need it. I remember being in a prayer gathering, and one of my friends like just said, I just feel like I need to pray Psalm 32 over you. And they started praying this psalm, and it was one of my 26 promises. Wait, when they didn't even know it. I'm like, that's one of the promises that God gave to me. Then I had my mentor text me Psalm 40 2 weeks ago. And I was like, that's one of the promises that God has given to me. That's why you need a Peter, James, and John. They're gonna walk with you. That's why you need the right three people walking with you. Look at verse 40. They get to the house, the crowd laughed at him. But what did Jesus do? He made them what? made them all leave. And he took the girl's father and mother and say this with me, and what? His three disciples into the room. When Jesus gets ready to move, he clears toxic people out of the room. Oh, but Jesus is full of love and mercy and grace and kindness. He also tossed some temple tables. He also went into the temple and said, you're desecrating the house of God. You are toxic, and I'm going to throw you out. You get out of here right now. Some of y'all need to throw the toxic voices out of the room. You need to get them out of your room, and you get them out of your mind and out of your head and stop listening to them. I'd like for you to write this down. Here's why. When I listen, who I let in the room shapes the room. Who I let in the room shapes the room. It's like, remember when you're in college and you got that roommate and you're like, oh, good luck, JC. I don't know where JC's at. Good luck. Hope you get a good roommate. Or you remember when you first got your first apartment and you had to have somebody move in because you couldn't quite afford the rent and it didn't go quite as you were hoping. Like they showed up and they started unpacking porcelain dolls and you're like, oh my gosh, what is this? Oh my gosh. Go to sleep at night and there's all these eyeballs that are looking at you. I really have to go to the bathroom, but I am not getting up. I am not. You get the wrong people in the room and they will fill you with doubt and discouragement and fear. You get the right people in the room, they will build your faith. They will encourage you. They will lift you up when you don't have the strength, and they will affirm the promises that God has for you. This is why we need people of faith in the room with us. I mean, think about Jairus and his wife. They're vulnerable. They're broken. And Peter, James, and John come in, and I think they were like a shield of faith around those two. See, when you're broken and you're vulnerable, that's what you need. You need a Peter, James, and John, people that will lift up the shield of faith when you cannot. Because you're going to have moments where you can't lift. This is why you can't walk alone. This is why people who walk alone. Jesus, when he sent Jairus on that walk back home, he didn't send him alone. He sent him with some people that could support him. He said, I don't care who you are. I don't care how long you've been walking with Jesus. You and Jesus can't do it alone, okay? Now hear me on that, because that sounds like really bad theology. But hear me on this. This is what I mean by this. Jesus has the power to do anything. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is this. Jesus is going to give you some promises. And he's going to speak into you and say, you and I, we're going to take this walk. And you're going to be walking with Jesus. And what's going to happen is you're going to be like, I know the promises. I know what God's saying to me. I just don't know. And if you're walking alone in that moment, all that doubt, Jesus is trying to encourage you. Jesus is trying to speak to you. But you will doubt the voice of God. And in that moment, you need the shield of faith to keep away the fiery darts of the enemy who comes at you to discourage you, to destroy you, to kill you, and to steal your dream. You got to have three people walking with you. So who's walking with you? More importantly, who do you need to walk away from? That toxic relationship, that voice that's in your head, you just don't need to be hearing it anymore. So you need that Peter, James, and John. You need people who've walked with Jesus. I think Jairus in this moment, scripture doesn't tell us this, but I just think he must have looked at Peter, James, and John and went, they're coming? Come on. I'll take those guys all day. Because he'd seen those guys and he knew these were men who walk with Jesus. Not only that, but you need a Peter, James, and John. You need somebody who's been changed by Jesus. Like, I think Jairus would have looked and said, I know Peter, James, and John. They were common fishermen. They were just some good old boys, man. I mean, they just had calloused hands. And man, these guys were hard workers. And look at them. Who are these guys now? If Jesus did that for them, he could do that for me. And you need people that trust Jesus. Because he saw in them that, like, no matter what was spoken to Jesus, no matter what people said to Peter, James, and John, they stayed right by Jesus' side. They trusted in who Jesus was. This is the kind of people that we have to have around us. And Jesus promises, listen, I brought that to Jairus. I can bring that to you. He says, I can bring you those three people to walk with you. So who's walking with you? Are they the right three people?
We hope this message today has encouraged and inspired you.
If you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to join us Sundays at 10 a.m.
And if we can support you or encourage you or help you in any way, please use any of the links that are in the description. Thanks again for joining us online. We pray you have a great week.